In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear saints of God, Judgment Day is near. By and large, the thought of Judgment Day is a scary one in the minds of a lot of people. Judgment Day is like test day back in school. If you're ill-prepared, you dread test day. But even if you're well-prepared, test day has a certain anxiety to it, because tests are seeing whether you are prepared or not. Judgment Day is a lot like that for most people. It's like test day to see if you really have done enough to pass the test. Well, that's not quite the picture that the scripture gives us of Judgment Day. Rather, it is more like payday, but by being given wages you did not earn. Or like being a guest at someone's Thanksgiving dinner, which you receive what has been prepared for you. That's how Jesus talks about Judgment Day in our gospel lesson for today. Jesus comes to separate his sheep from the goats to give them the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about Judgment Day. In fact, it's one of those things that we regularly confess when we confess we believe. Whether we're confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or that long Athanasian Creed which we confess once a year, we always confess that Christ is coming again to judge the living and the dead. And many times the scripture talks about that judgment day. It speaks it in terms of being a refuge for believers. Judgment day is when the wicked are finally brought to an end of the Lord's, and the Lord's people are spared from trial and temptation. This is true of judgment day. The picture of judgment day is like if someone is breaking into your house and you call the police. The time it takes for the police to get there is an eternity. You might be waiting for the police to come and the intruder is breaking in, or maybe he's already in the house and you're in there hiding somewhere. Well, judgment day is the moment the police arrive. The moment that you are finally safe from the intruder. The Lord's return is a safe haven for believers from the wicked of the world. And that is a true and accurate picture of judgment. And it's one of the reasons Christians often pray the last words of Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus." Our gospel lesson for today is that same judgment, but with these words, Jesus is making a slightly different point. Because in this case, those that the Lord separates from his believers are not the rank evil and wicked that are trying to inflict harm upon the sheep. Instead, the ones he separates from the sheep are the goats who call him Lord. The goats would be delighted to do good works for Jesus had they only known Jesus wanted them to do them. Jesus describes this judgment as a shepherd who is separating sheep from the goats. In other words, these goats are mixed up with the sheep of the fold. That the goats are mixing with the sheep. And the goats are seemingly trying to pose as sheep. While Judgment Day is a safe haven for believers from the wicked, what Jesus is emphasizing in this text is that in judgment, Jesus will separate the true believers from those posing as believers. There are those who put themselves forward in the eyes of man as if they are Christian, as if they were followers of Christ, but they are not true sheep. They are goats mingling amongst the sheep of the fold. Now, man may not be able to make a difference between sheep and goats posing together, but the Lord knows. As our great shepherd, he will come and separate the sheep from the fake sheep, the goats. Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of God. So what is the difference between sheep and goats? How can you know if you are a sheep or if you're a goat? Well, our first intuition might be to say to look at their works. After all, you will know me by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit, the Bible says. But that is a real goat way of looking at it. If you look at this text, who is more concerned with works? Sheep or goats? It's the goats who are promoting their good works. The goats seem somewhat surprised that the Lord is not pleased with their works. But look carefully at what it says. This is verse 44. It says, "Then they," the goats, "will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?'" You see, they're not saying, "We never saw you and didn't do it." What they're saying is, "When did we not do it?" They're saying, "Every single time we saw you hungry, we gave you food. Every time we saw you thirsty, we gave you something to drink. Every time you were a stranger, every time you were naked, every time you were in prison, we served you. When did we not?" And the answer Jesus gives is when you didn't do it for the least of these. But the goats are very pro-good works. So much so, you might say, that that's what they were banking on. It was their works they were trusting in. They thought, if we serve Jesus every time we see him in need, then we will have fulfilled the requirement. We'll be ready to pass the test. That's not how the sheep respond. The sheep were serving the Lord all along, and they didn't even realize it. They didn't assume they were getting credit for anything. They didn't think, if I serve Jesus at just the right times, then I'll have my reward in heaven. They were just doing works. The reason they didn't even recognize their works as good is because they were works that flow from the gift of faith. They are works that simply happen because sheep love those in need. It isn't out of self-interest. It isn't the kind of love that works because you might get something back. No self-credit is necessary. Sheep love because the shepherd first loved them. Sheep don't withhold love to first investigate whether they'll get something out of it. Since they were not owed love, but their shepherd loved them anyway, so sheep love those who don't deserve it either. But what is the real difference between sheep and goats? Is it simply that goats serve selfishly and sheep serve selflessly? That does not seem to be the difference between the sheep and the goats, although that is certainly a difference. What makes sheep sheep, and what makes a goat a goat? The key to understanding this passage of Scripture is to see how Jesus frames this teaching with something he gave us earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. It's founded upon those whom the sheep and the goats are serving. Now, Jesus says both to the sheep and to the goats, "To the extent that you do this to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So who are the least of these, my brothers? What is Jesus talking about? Well, if you go back to Matthew chapter 10, this is where Jesus sends out his disciples to preach the kingdom of God. And he told them to proclaim God's peace. And where a son of peace is there, then he will receive you. And where there is no son of peace, he says to shake the dust off of your sandals and to keep moving on. And he tells them to not take a money belt or to acquire silver or gold or to even take a bag on the journey for an extra cloak or extra sandals. Now, why wouldn't Jesus want the disciples to take with them for the preaching of the gospel a money belt or even a bag to carry an extra coat or an extra pair of sandals. It's because they are going to find provision for their living among those who receive them. As the disciples go out and proclaim the kingdom, they are given food when they are hungry. They are given clothing when they need it by those who receive their preaching. This is why Jesus says, and this is Matthew chapter 10, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives one of the little ones a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." So this explains who Jesus is talking about when he says that you did it for the least of these my brothers, you did it for me. Jesus, what Jesus is commending about the sheep, which they don't even realize, that the sheep are supporting and providing for his messengers. That they were providing for his gospel proclaimers. That they were providing for his disciples who preached to them the good news and gave them the means to live. That when they were hungry and they were thirsty, they had no food and had no water because they were sent out without the means to survive. The reason they were a stranger and were welcomed in was because they were from a faraway place there to preach the gospel. The reason they were in prison was because they were persecuted for that which they were preaching. Jesus says, "He who receives you receives me." And he says, "Insofar as you did it for the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me." So what is really the difference between the sheep and the goats? The one and only difference between the sheep and the goats is this. The sheep believe the gospel. That's the difference. That's the one and only difference. That the goats cannot fabricate. That they can fabricate good works or works that appear good, and they may be able to fool everyone else but God. But what the sheep do is that they receive the gospel that the Lord has given them. And the sheep delight in this message, and they do whatever they can to continue the gospel proclaimed among them. And they can do no other because this message is the message of eternal life. It's more important that these sheep have the gospel proclaimed than all of their earthly wealth. For what good is earthly wealth come judgment day anyway? It's because the sheep believe in Christ that they are sheep. And it's for this reason that God has made you his sheep. He has given you his gospel, and he has given you the forgiveness of all of your sins, that your good shepherd has laid down his life for you, his sheep. He has opened for you heaven, which he has prepared from the foundations of the world. So for now, we wait. And however you wish to see it, like payday for a paycheck you didn't earn, or a Thanksgiving dinner you did not prepare, or the day that law enforcement comes for the intruder to keep you safe, the day is coming. And when it comes, the Lord is going to look at you, and he's going to say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I died for you, and you believe in my promise of the forgiveness of all of your sins." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.